This is Orthopod, your regular lecture from the University of Stellenbosch, South Africa. I'm Ian Robertson, a principal specialist at this university and practicing at Tygerberg Hospital. Today I will discuss bone tumour, primary and secondary bone tumours affecting this bony skeleton. Some benign tumours are common and will be seen not infrequently by the busy general practitioner. Malignant bone tumours are rare, maybe see them once or twice in a lifetime, but must be recognised at the earliest opportunity. If this is not done, it will be disastrous for the patient as well as for the career of the treating doctor. The treatment of bone tumours. Benign versus malignant tumours. What is the difference between a benign and a malignant tumour? A benign tumour usually has a well-defined border, grows slowly, and never metastasizes, whereas a malignant tumor has a poorly defined margin, it's in general fast growing, and it can give rise to distant metastases. Some common benign tumors which will be discussed are the simple bone cyst, aneurysmal bone cyst, fibrous defects, such as fibrous cortical defect, non-ossifying fibroma, enchondroma, and osteochondroma. Each one of these will be discussed now in a bit more detail. The simple bone cyst is seen in children. It is mildly expansile, and with growth, it starts in the metaphyseal region and migrates to the mid shaft of a long bone. So if you see one more towards the mid-shaft, it's probably been there for several months or years. They are, however, liable to break and produce pathological fractures. And a painful simple bone cyst is an indication that it is in a pre-fracture stage and may require treatment. The contents of these cysts are filled with serous fluid. Have a fibrous lining containing giant cells and do not contain blood. Treatment of a simple bone cyst. First of all, make a diagnosis on x-ray grounds. If there's no fracture present, most methods that perforate the cyst are successful, such as perforating it with K-wires, injection methods where prednisone and other steroids injected into it. Other methods such as curettage are often successful. If you go as far as the curettage, it's probably worthwhile doing a bone graft at the same time, packing it with bone. When a fracture is present, it is automatically decompressed the simple bone cyst and treat the fracture and forget about the bone cyst in most areas, except for a very large one. It usually does not require open reduction internal fixation. Simple plaster methods suffice, but in the high stress area, the proximal femur in children with a pathological fracture through a simple bone cyst, a pediatric head screw or other method of fixation is advisable. The second benign tumour I want to discuss is the aneurysmal bone cyst. It's an expansile tumour and is seen in the second decade of life. It can also be seen in the vertebra, in the posterior elements, and the clue to its existence is expansile, and a tumour in a child in the posterior elements often is a benign tumour of some sort. With expansile, think of the aneurysmal bone cyst. They occur up to the second decade in life, and the cyst contains blood. If you aspirate a cyst and it's full of blood and it's expansile, probable diagnosis is aneurysmal bone cyst. It is lined with a membrane filled with giant cells. The content of the cyst itself is blood. The next tumour is the giant cell tumour, which is only seen really in adults, very rare in children, and it is a tumor of the epiphyseal area, common about the knee, and its characteristic extends to the joint surface. It can also in places break through into the soft tissues. Treatment of a giant cell tumor, this is one of the very difficult tumor to treat because it is always adjacent to joint and sometimes undermines the integrity of the joint. Basically what needs to be done is that the tumor area has to be opened and the whole cavity burred with a curette. The remaining tumor, once all macroscopic tumor is removed, is ablated with a method such as cryosurgery, filling the tumor with liquid nitrogen, or the phenol is also successful. After this, that the cyst is packed with cancellous bone grafting. Sometimes in a major joint, such as the knee, a custom-made replacement of the joint can be considered. The other benign tumor is a solitary enchondroma. It contains cartilage. It's seen in the second to fifth decade of life. It's a very common tumor in the hand, especially in the phalanges. And the problem with this, it is maybe a low-grade chondrosarcoma. It contains stippled calcifications, which indicate that there is a cartilage type of tumor. Ollier's disease is a multiple form of enchondromatous, and it consists of expansile bone lesions, common in the hand, and it can also result in angular deformities to the long bones. The non-ossifying fibroma is a benign tissue seen towards the cortex. It has a sclerotic rim and is often a incidental finding on x-rays. It can, however, lead to a pathological fracture through it. It does not always require treatment, and small lesions can be observed. The osteoid osteoma is a benign tumor which results in pain, especially night pain, which responds to aspirin. It results in sclerosis and contains a nidus, a more lytic area, up to 1 centimeter in diameter. The nidus needs to be removed to remove the pain. The tumor lasts for about 2 years and will burn itself out, but it's very painful. So most treatment methods are aimed at removing the nidus. The nidus is logically osteoid with a vascular stroma with giant cells. The nidus is identified by computer tomograms or other methods to see where it is in 3 dimensions and operatively located and curetted away. Once the nidus is gone, the pain is relieved. Deep lesions, which are not easily accessible to surgery, may be treated with aspirin. Chondromyxoid fibroma, usually seen in the second or third decade of life, is a scalloped lesion with a well-defined edge and is eccentric, seen in the long bones, and is filled with a myxomatous tissue like Wharton's jelly, and it may turn into a chondrosarcoma. Treatment is usually by curettage and bone graft. Benign osteochondroma is a very common lesion. It is basically a growth plate abnormality, near a growth plate always, begins in children. It consists of a bone, outgrowth of bone with a cartilage cap. The lesion may be pedunculated, in other words, a narrow neck, then a cartilage cap, or it may be the so-called sessile lesion, which has a broad base. Some patients have multiple osteochondromata, and the multiple osteochondromata have a chance of becoming malignant, either chondrosarcoma or osteosarcoma. The chance for this is about 10% in multiple osteochondromata. Treatment is by excision of the symptomatic lesion. The multiple osteochondroma can be treated with supervision. Best way to detect a possible malignancy is to do a technetium scan every year and watch out for any rapid growth of the cartilage cap. Any suspicious lesions are excised. Osteochondroma can become a malignant lesion. What also makes one suspicious is if it changes its character, such as having fluffy calcifications in it or rapid growth. Any suspicious lesion must definitely be biopsied and excised. Where do these various tissues lie, tumors lie in bone? Let's consider the benign tumors. Chondroblastoma, which I haven't mentioned, is the only characteristic, only epiphyseal lesion you get. It is a cartilage lesion, stippled calcifications, and occurs in children to adolescents in the epiphyseal region. Giant cell tumor crosses the epiphyseal region in adults and is basically subchondral. The non-ossifying fibroma is usually subcortical, any place in the bone. Solitary bone cyst begins at the growth plate and migrates towards the shaft. And now let's consider the malignant tumors, such as the osteosarcoma. Osteosarcoma is a tumor forming osteoid, and it is seen in the second decade of life, usually. And it is usually in the long bones, also very common round about the knee. It occurs in the starts in the metaphysis, classical osteosarcoma, and it may begin with present with a mild swelling, but usually in South Africa, the patients present late, and the swelling is often very marked. It's hard, bony type of swelling. The characteristic on X-rays of an osteosarcoma are a metaphyseal lesion with a poorly defined lesion. Tumor breaks through the cortex, forming vertical rays, the so-called sun ray spicules. It may elevate the periosteum in the corner of the lesion, forming the so-called Codman's triangle. Any fast-growing lesion under the periosteum can form a Codman's triangle. It's just an indication of a fast-growing tumor. Histological characteristics when it is biopsied are the formation of osteoid or new bone. The new bone formation in any tumor, any sarcoma, is an indication that there's an element of osteosarcoma in it. Next malignant tumor to be considered is the Ewing's. Ewing sarcoma is seen also in patients under 30, more or less the same age group as osteosarcoma. It is more lytic in characteristic and results characteristic in multiple insults of the periosteum causing the so-called onion peel reaction. Layers upon layer like onion skin or periosteum have been elevated, and the favorite region, this is one tumor that can come, 50% of them come in the diaphysis. The others, like the osteosarcoma, come in the metaphyseal regions. So if you see a diaphyseal lesion, especially with a large soft tissue component and periosteal elevation in multiple areas, think about the Ewing's sarcoma. Ewing's on histology is sheets of very monotonous round cells that look more or less the same, small cell tumor. Malignant tumors, the myeloma, this is a tumor of the older patient. The myeloma is a small round cell tumor, seen in the patient over 50, is elytic, and the characteristics of this when it is in a vertebra is a wafer or vertebral collapse, is that a good word, vascular vertebra, or any lytic lesion that commonly results in pathological fractures of the long bones. The plasma cell is a larger round cell, and the characteristic, the way to get a diagnosis is to find the abnormal proteins that, that this tumor produces. Plasma cells, remember, produce serum proteins, immunological proteins, and there is an abnormal peak. So what you can do, the ESR is usually raised because of these high protein levels, it's above 100. Serum erectophoresis shows abnormal spikes, and the urine, some of the, especially the small chain disease, spills over the urine and produces Bence-Jones protein in the urine. This serum immunoelectrophoresis will tell exactly whether it's heavy or light chains, and bone marrow and biopsy needs to be done once one of these other tests are positive for abnormal plasma proteins. You have to, bone marrow determines which whether it is systemic or localized. A localized lesion will cause a plasmacytoma if it's confined to one bone, or if it's confined to many bones, we call it a multiple myeloma. Pathological fractures is another entity that is important to consider in any lytic lesion of bone, especially the older patient, and common metastatic tumors are breast, prostate, thyroid, and lung. Many other tumors have late metastasis to bone, but these are the main ones that the problem occur early in bone. There are various scoring systems, and we talk now of the patient who comes early with a lesion in bone, such as the Morrell's scoring system. And the importance of this is that there, any lesion that is 50% of the cortex or is painful may require prophylactic fixation. Once the lesion has caused a fracture, it will need open reduction internal fixation. Middle score, I think all you have to remember about, is a scoring system. You can get a maximum of 12 points, and you score whether it is, give a point, up to 3 points for size, pain, whether the lesion is lytic or mixed, and whether the size is one third, two thirds, or more than two thirds of the shaft. And with this system, if you get more than 7 or 8 points, it is borderline for whether you fix or not prophylactically. And also remember that the metastases, the common prostate metastasis in the man is sclerotic, breast is mixed, can be sclerotic or lytic. Most of the others are lytic lesions. Management of metastases: if they come to the orthopedic surgeon with a occult primary lesion, you must, in other words, a metastasis with no obvious primary, investigate. And the common areas it comes from are thyroid, lung, prostate, breast, renal. So investigate these with clinical examination. Do a technetium scan to find the extent of the disease. If a patient comes with no fracture, with known carcinoma, then irradiate alone if the Morrell score is less than 8. If the Morrell score is more than 8, needs ORF and prophylactic fixation, then radiotherapy. The patient with comes with the metastasis, already a fracture, this is often a common case in orthopedics, needs open reduction and internal fixation, and post-operatively irradiate the area or the whole bone if intermedullary fixation is done. Management of malignant tumors, this is in general, not only the metastasis. First of all, stage the tumor. To do this, we need local x-rays and magnetic resonance of the area, CT scan of the lung, and straight x-ray first and then CT of the lung to determine the small metastases. technetium scan of the whole body for other bony metastases. Look for warm areas. Usually the area of the tumor is warm anyway. Biopsy can be done late, preferably by the surgeon who's going to do the definitive procedure, and a histological diagnosis is made. Often pre-op chemotherapy is required before the lesion is excised. The next principle is to surgically remove the lesion, either with a block excision or some sort of limb-sparing surgery, or in as a last resort, is one method of obtaining a good radical margin of excision. Often post-op chemotherapy is then also given, and the resected specimen can be sent to the histologist to see what the response of the initial chemotherapy was. If the response was good, you continue with the same chemotherapeutic drugs, but if the response was bad, they will need first another change of regimen, and a different post-op chemotherapy can be given. Just as regarded as a staging system, Enneking has devised a staging system, stage 1, 2 and 3 for malignant tumors. Stage 1 A and B. Stage 1A is a low grade tumor, which is intracompartmental, has no metastases. Stage B is a low grade lesion, extracompartmental, with no metastases. The usual case that come to us, osteosarcoma and everything, are what you call a stage 2, which is a high grade lesion, histologically. So 2A is an intracompartmental lesion, in other words, confined to the bone, hasn't burst out, and a B is a high grade lesion, extracompartmental spread. In other words, a tumor which is spread out of the bone into areas such as the popliteal fossa, where there are many compartments, so it's out of the original compartment. All of the above have no metastases. Once there are metastases present, we call it a stage 3 lesion. And then we can talk about the 3 with regional or distant metastases. Remember that the most sarcomata don't go to the lymph nodes, they go to the lung or to other bones when they metastasize. The place of biopsy. Preferably leave it for biopsy, to general practitioner, leave it to the surgeon who's going to do the procedure, so you can make the diagnosis on x-ray grounds and then refer before doing a biopsy, preferably. Usually there's not very much doubt with the overtly malignant lesion anyway. You can refer before taking a biopsy. Basically you can do a needle biopsy or open surgical biopsy. It depends on the expertise of your pathologist. If it's a difficult tumor like a chondrosarcoma, probably open biopsy for people is necessary. The choice of site: stay in the compartment when you're doing a biopsy. Do it in the same lines as you're going to do later for your definitive surgery, and avoid reactive bones such as the Codman's triangle or necrotic areas, the middle of a large tumor, if it doesn't bleed. Look around and find areas that appear vascular. It might be just necrotic bone or tumor you're biopsying. So look for an area that looks viable. And direct approach. Don't use anatomical textbook incisions. They're usually on a border between two compartments, and you don't want to contaminate the other compartment. So go directly from skin to the lesion, and use as direct a path as possible. Amputation, just consider amputation itself, can achieve any margin of tumor ablation, so either regional, marginal, or radical. So it's just another method of ablating the tumor. It has less, maybe arguably less post-operative morbidity, and whether it is cost effective or not is debatable. Block excision, is basically a limb-saving surgery method of taking the tumor out as a block, the bit of bone with the tumor plus the soft surrounding soft tissues with a wide margin, and then filling the defect either with a prosthetic joint, an orthodesis, or a bone graft. Problems unique to South Africa with the malignant tumors are late presentation. The majority of the tumors present reasonably late. The size of the tumor, because of late presentation, they present when it's advanced and probably with more metastases than worldwide series. And there's a high incidence of non-compliance. See these benign tumors in your practice, and I hope this lecture has given you some insight into them and also given you the ability to recognize and refer the malignant lesion.